Number one, you can't go out and borrow a bunch of money from the bank and expect to make a profitable business, because you know you're going to be working for the bank if you're doing that.
Solid, sustaining, and successful. You're listening to the Speech Therapy Private Practice Startup Podcast with your host, Kyle Meads, speech and language pathologist. Listen, learn, and prosper as we share our experience and knowledge so that you can improve your business and your life, one podcast at a time.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Speech Therapy Private Practice Startup Podcast. This is episode number 3. My name is Kyle Meads, and I'll be your host today, and I am recording this podcast from beautiful San Carlos, Mexico. San Carlos, Mexico is a very small beach town located about 5 hours south of Tucson, Arizona. It's on the beach, and it's just a beautiful area. Last night, I recorded episode number 2. If you listen to that, you'll realize that I recorded that episode at 10:45 at night. There was a loud banging on the door. We had a tree fall on our car, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I was very thankful that the tree didn't do a lot of damage to the car, so it kind of pushed me out to make a podcast. And so today, I'm just kind of continuing that energy and to get that information out there for you. So this podcast is going to focus on how to move into self-employment the right way. Now, for those people who know me personally, you'll know that I'm not a flashy guy. I don't drive fancy cars. I don't have debt. I don't have a big flashy house. I don't have those things. I have always been a very frugal person. Even when I was a child, my mom said to me, she said, son, you're going to be an entrepreneur. And I always said, what's an entrepreneur? And I had to look it up. She'd always say, go look that up in the dictionary. So I looked it up, and it worked for me. I knew when I was a kid that I wanted to have my own business. I always knew that. And I always got bummed out going to work for other people. Everybody's barbecuing and having a great time on holidays. And here I am working, and I hated it. Just complaining, moaning, and groaning about going to work. So for those of you guys who know me personally, you know I'm not a flashy person. I don't wear expensive clothes. As a matter of fact, you will find me in my work uniform, which is a white t-shirt, jeans, and I always have these Converse shoes on, either blue or orange. That's kind of what I wear. I do comb my hair and I brush my teeth, but besides that, it's the same thing over and over. But how to move into self-employment the right way, and when to move into self-employment the right way? Well, you have to be frugal. Number one, you can't go out and borrow a bunch of money from the bank and expect to make a profitable business, because you know you're going to be working for the bank if you're doing that. So when I did start my own private practice, when I moved and transitioned into my own business, I did have a very small line of credit. It was a small overdraft line of credit that I would use to float myself monthly. I want to say it was about $4,000 to $5,000 that I would float, because at that time in my life, we had just moved to Tucson, Arizona following hurricanes Katrina and Rita. And I had 2 duplex apartments at that time. I had 4 units in an area called Uptown New Orleans. It was about 8 blocks from Tulane University. And really, that's how I made my income. I mean, I was a private speech therapist at a local hospital there, and I made, you know, a decent salary working at that children's hospital in New Orleans. But, you know, the majority of my income was made through apartments, and I got the tax breaks through depreciation, etc., through my real estate. But let me tell you what happens after a major disaster such as a hurricane. Your taxes and your insurances nearly will triple. And I'm sure those in the Northeast experienced the same thing around Jersey there after that hurricane went through your area as well. Your taxes and insurances will double or triple overnight, because don't forget, banks and insurance companies always will get their money. So that's why when you start your own private practice, you want to be frugal. You want to have a little cash in the bank or a little line of credit, something small, not flashy, but something to get you by so you can pay your bills. I remember I had 2 mortgages in New Orleans. Orleans, but after the hurricanes Katrina and Rita, my taxes and insurances, they doubled and tripled. I was living here in Tucson at one of my apartments. I had 6 units, and I lived in one of those units, so I didn't have to pay rent right there. I had a car loan because at that time I used to drive an old Volvo station wagon until the transmission fell out on the corner of Broadway and Campbell, and I remember selling that car to one of the nurse friends, and I was able to walk into a dealership and get a used car. It was a promo car. It was one of those incentive vehicles where it was had 19,000 miles on it. I think I got it for $25,000. I didn't have to put any cash down, so I was able to get a nice interest rate because I had good credit, and I was able to buy that car, and I still drive that car today. As a matter of fact, I didn't tell you guys last night. I didn't realize that till this morning. As of this recording, there was a tropical depression that came through the town of San Carlos, Mexico last night, and that was the 21st of September. So I don't know what it is about me and hurricanes, but they tend to follow me wherever I go. So that's the same car that I'm talking about the tree fell on last night. So that's about the car. But you know, when I lived in this apartment, one of my rentals, you know, I had no carpet. At the time I couldn't even afford, the tenants ruined the carpet. The tenants before me ruined the carpet with their dogs. So I remember I had, you know, I had my son. So we had an air mattress. We slept on that air mattress. I had to rip that carpet out because of the smell. So we essentially had an air mattress and a slab, concrete slab floor. We had a little tiny window unit that would cool in 750 square foot apartment. So in Tucson, Arizona, you know that heat, it's incredible, but I was able to survive. And I still live with that frugal mentality today. You know, I still drive the same car. You know, I don't drink alcohol. I save money. I'm not out to impress anybody. You know, I also wanted to tell you that time we had fun making our own meals at home. We used to shop at secondhand stores. We were big fans of the Dollar Tree. And as a matter of fact, when I did open my first brick and mortar company, a lot of our stickers and materials and supplies came from the Dollar Tree. And we still go there today to buy certain things at the Dollar Tree because it's cheaper. We used to shop at that local budget supermarket down the street called Food City in Tucson. I'm a big fan of the Millionaire Next Door book. So if you really want to get into this mentality and how to move into your self-employment the right way, I suggest you read that book. It's a wonderful read and it'll keep you in that proper mindset. But let's get down to some nitty gritty. You know, number one, I kept my current job because that equals money for me. I had to save and save, and I didn't borrow from banks except for that little line of credit that I had. I remember once I was so broke, I tried to refinance my car to save $120 a month, but the bank refused me. And to this day, I always refuse the bank offers when they offer me these promo credit cards and they say, "Hey, Kyle, do you want this?" And I'm like, "Nope. Remember when I wanted I needed that extra $120 a month and you wouldn't refinance my car?" So there you go, right back at you. I don't want your credit card. So I kept my current job. That's the first thing I did. The second thing is I saw those patients in the home setting. I didn't want high dollar rent. I did not want to have a big expense. I didn't want to have to pay somebody to answer phones, etc. I just wanted to go there after my current job, my day job, go out and see these patients at the home. And they were generally seen after 5 o'clock because that's when I got off from my first job. I would go see my patients from 5 to 6, 6 to 7. And sometimes, once in a while, I would see a kid from 7 to 8 in the evening just so I could save that money. And everything I made from my private practice at that point from doing those home visits went into my checking account, my business savings account. Excuse me. Everything was saved in that savings account. And I remember not having the right income to get an office at first. So I saw those patients in the home setting. So the third thing is, how do you get your first patients? Well, I started a website. I used a site at that time called Elance. It's where you can hire virtual assistants. And I hired a virtual assistant to help me set up a very solid WordPress website that I had optimized myself for the keywords in my area, and those keywords focused around speech and speech therapy services. The second thing I did was I contracted with insurance companies. I hired a credentialer, and a credentialer is someone who is a specialist in getting your business credentialed to take third-party payers. Now, this third-party payers, otherwise known as insurance companies, can be Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance companies, for example, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, TRICARE, United Healthcare, Cigna, etc. The third thing I did was I changed my voicemail on my cell phone to have a professional greeting, because once that phone rang, I wanted to sound professional. And I always said something like, "This is Kyle Meads, and you have reached our after hours voicemail," or "If you've received this voicemail, I am with a patient. Please leave a detailed message and I will return your call." Something like that, something very professional to let those people who are calling me for an appointment know that I was busy, but I will call them back that same day. And this is the kicker. You have to call them back on the same day. It's just called old school follow through. You've got to follow through. That, and if you listen to my other podcast number two, you can't be flaky. Being flaky is when you say, "I'm going to call you back the same business day," and you don't. You can't do that, because people will go somewhere else. Another thing I did was I did a presentation for a group of pediatricians in the Tucson area to let them know who I was, what kind of services I offered, and what insurances I took so I could help their consumers. And then another thing I used to do was I would leave business cards on the table or, you know, at local restaurants, businesses, places that I knew my target market will be visiting, such as playgrounds, daycare centers. There's a place in Tucson. It's an indoor mall where they have a big play area. I left some business cards there once. So I would leave these business cards at Speech Therapy in Tucson. I'd leave those all over the place for people. And they really worked. People would call me and I would set up an appointment. And I remember calling people's insurance companies and verifying their insurance companies and being on hold for 30 minutes at a time, you know, verifying insurances. So those are some things that I did to get my first patients scheduled. So, and another thing, once I got up to about 60 hours a week combined between my first job and then my own private practice homesteading clients, I slowly started backing down from my full-time job. I was upfront and honest with my current employer at the time, since day one, you know, and that's another thing, you have to be honest with people. When I took that job, my last paid job, when I was working for someone else, I always told my manager, I said, "You know, I'm in the process of starting my own private practice." And she looked at me like, "Yeah, you know, I've heard that before." But I meant it. I was very serious. And I said, "One day I will get to the point where I will no longer be working for you and I'm going to move on." And there came a time, I remember that company, we had to be employed for a minimum of 32 hours per week in order to keep our benefits, because with that company I had my health insurance, I had 401k, etc. So I remember with that company we had to stay 32 hours a week to maintain our benefits. And I remember as I kept getting more people on my own, I would back down, and I got down to about 25 hours. And I remember she never cut my benefits, but after I got to about 25 hours, I went back up to her. This was about a year and a half after I started. I said, her name was Lori, wonderful lady, a physical therapist. And I said, "Lori, you remember when I told you I was going to start my own private practice? Well, I'm doing that. And this is, I'm going to give you my 30-day notice." I was very upfront and honest. And I encourage people to be upfront and honest, because now that I have employees, I've had people flake out, you know, quit via text on a Friday and just leave me hanging. And it's just not cool. So I encourage people to be upfront and honest with their employers and do the right thing. But that company really helped me. They were a catalyst in helping me get my own private practice started. So those are some things that I did to get my own private practice going. And that's some of the ways that I transitioned from working for others to being self-employed. And I call it doing it the right way. So, you know, this may not work for everybody, but it worked for me. And, you know, when looking back on the whole business that I started, I did it with cash in the bank. Wasn't a lot of money. I did it with used supplies I bought on the internet. So that's just one of the ways that I did it. But I wanted to remind you, if you ever have any questions or if you need any help starting your own private practice, please get in touch with me at privateslp.com. Leave your questions, comments, and feedback in the section there. There's always a place where you can call and leave a message for me. And if you have anything you'd like me to speak about on the podcast, I'll be more than happy to help you in any way that I can. This is Kyle Meads, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Speech Therapy Private Practice Startup Podcast. For more information on Speech Therapy Private Practice Startup or to stay connected with Kyle, please visit privateslp.com.